I'm Pastor Lauer from Our Savior's Lutheran Church in Mankato, which brings you this brief broadcast each Sunday morning at this same time. Our Savior's is located at 1103 North Broad Street in Mankato. That's just across the street from Franklin Elementary. Sunday services are at 8 and 10:30 a.m. During this pandemic, our services are in our parking lot. Drive in, listen, and receive with us all the blessings that God has to give. Today's broadcast is sponsored by Verneil Schuchart in loving memory of Harold.
In my first year of college at Concordia in St. Paul, every freshman, regardless of where you came from, if you were Lutheran or Catholic or nothing at all, everybody had to take a class in their freshman year called Principles of Christianity. It is a Lutheran college, after all, so they do teach the faith. And we had to read this book, little book called Your God is Too Small. This is still my copy of the yellow pages and such. Now, when I heard that title, Your God is Too Small, I knew immediately that it didn't talk about me. I was a Lutheran Church Missouri Synod member my whole life. I'd been through 3 years of confirmation. You've met my dad. He was no easy one. And we'd read the scriptures, and now here I was at a Concordia college. Certainly the book wasn't about me. My God wasn't too small. But I learned something in that class, freshman year, fall quarter. My knowledge of God, even after 18 years and growing up, had only just scratched the surface. In 4 years of college after that, and 4 years at the seminary, and now a number of years working with the scriptures and God's people, I have to say, I still can't get over the conclusion of this book. My God is still too small. How can I, my little mind, understand the greatness of God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? The first lesson we learn is that if we are to understand God, we must start with what Scripture calls the fear of the Lord. That's the understanding that knows that I don't tell God who He is. God tells me who I am. And instead of mouthing off to God and telling Him, you ought to do this and you ought to do that, God tells me who I am and what I ought to be doing and how I ought to live my life. So the Bible says the beginning of all wisdom is the fear of the Lord. And when we start with that, we have to start with keeping our mouths shut and hearing what God has to say. That's ultimately what led to the conflict between the Sanhedrin, the ruling council of the Jews, and Jesus. The Sanhedrin thought they knew God. They knew God's plan. Even though Jesus showed them from the scriptures, even though Jesus did miracles validating by God that what he was saying was true, they still thought they knew everything about God, which meant Jesus couldn't be the Christ. And as a result, they crucified the Messiah, as Peter pointed out in our second reading for today. So what we really need to learn today is that we are not as wise or as in tune with God or as smart as we would like to think that we are. And the first step in learning about God is to keep quiet and listen to what God has to say. When we do that, the very thing, first things we start to learn comes already at the first verses of Genesis. That everything that exists was created by God. In speaking with the Jewish council, Jesus said, "Before Abraham was, I am." They knew that what that meant. They knew he was claiming to be there with God at the creation, to actually be the God who created. That's why they picked up stones to throw at him and kill him, because he was claiming to be God. That couldn't possibly be, they thought. When it comes right down to it, Jesus is making the bold assertion that if you want to know anything about the creation at all, you have to go back to the very beginning. And when you go back to the very beginning, you find him. Now, when it comes right down to it, we can observe the world around us and we can say this is what we can learn from the world around us today. But to make any sense at all of who we are or why we're here or what God's plan is for us, we must begin by knowing the Creator. And that's why it's a subject for today, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. If we're to know who we really are, we need to be quiet and listen. And when we do, God tells us that there is only one God. By definition, there can only be one God. That's another sermon. But he also tells us that God is in three persons. And that starts to get really confusing. God is the source or the beginning of all things. Now, for modern science, if I understand this correctly, I'm not a scientist, but if I understand it correctly, the source or beginning of everything is really energy. You know, energy is light. Energy and light and matter. It's not a question of who's outside the creation. The question is, energy is neither created nor destroyed. It changes from one state to another, and that's how everything makes sense. So if we can understand energy, if we can control energy and smash atoms together and see what they're made of, then we can learn where the universe came from. For us, we want to take it one step even further back. Where did that energy come from? God said, "Let there be light." We fully agree that light and energy is what started all this creation. But we say, where did it come from? God spoke, and it was so. When God speaks, we come to recognize that that is the second person of the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We get to know God through Jesus Christ, our Savior, who came into our creation. He was outside of our creation before there was a creation, but then he steps into our creation so that we can see, feel, hear, touch him, so we can eat his body and drink his blood, so that we can receive forgiveness of sins by his death on the cross. And that one day we meet him again in the kingdom of heaven, in the new creation. So everything is about that we can know about God comes from this second person of the Trinity who first said, "Let there be light." We're going to say it in a creed in a few minutes. Through him all things were made. How can this be is beyond our comprehension. And God has not explained it to us. There is only one God, and yet God is known as three persons. The one who we will never know, God, as only God knows himself. God as he reveals himself to us in his Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Redeemer. And then when Jesus returns to heaven, he ascends into heaven, he sends the Holy Spirit, who is everywhere in creation. The Holy Spirit's not a part of creation like Jesus is. But he's everywhere in creation, and we really don't get to see the Holy Spirit. Instead, the Holy Spirit points us to Jesus, and he delivers Jesus' gifts. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, all three persons are the same God, and yet not just a part of God, and not God just in different modes. There's a limit to every way that we try to explain it. Anytime you try to explain it too far, you say too much, and you end up contradicting what God has said. So we can really only go so far, but what God has told us isn't so much about how we understand him, But the Bible spends the vast majority of its time telling us of what His attitude is toward us. That He loves us. That He sent His only begotten Son to reveal Himself to us. To show us the unlimitedness, is that a word, of His love. And the promise that He will return to take us into a new creation, where all the things that are broken in this world will be set straight and created again. These are the three persons of the Trinity which God Himself has told us about and shown us. Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And as I said, not three gods, but one God. How's that possible? He doesn't say. Chances are, we wouldn't understand it if He did. He's God. I'm sure there's many things about Him that we cannot understand, just as there are many things about parents that an infant can never understand. Now, we were taught to talk about God based upon where He is. That's what I've been doing so far. God the Father is in heaven. We won't know Him. Jesus came to earth. The Holy Spirit is everywhere and points us to Jesus. We can also talk about God, not about where He is, but by what He does. God the Father is the Creator. God the Son is the Redeemer. He comes and takes away our sins. And then God the Holy Spirit is the Sanctifier or the Comforter. He delivers to us the blessings of God. Faith, eternal life, salvation, through the means of grace. That gets into a whole other thing. But all of this is about God's love for us. And you say, well, now wait a minute, Pastor. Why then does the Bible talk about punishment and hell? Judgment. Well, that's because when you take away the love of God, that's all that's left. The consequences for our sin. Being apart from God. God doesn't send people to hell. You might say He leaves them here. Apart from Him. Because they won't go with Him. They won't receive His gifts. There's nothing for them apart from what the Father gives. And if they will not have it, a loving God won't force it down their throats. And that's what makes the message of Jesus so powerful, even shocking and unexpected, that Jesus is God's answer to our problems. And our problem is judgment and death, because we've tried to live without Him, or we've put ourselves before Him. He even forgives that. When we mouth off to God and say, you ought to be doing this and you ought to be doing that, you're not living up to my expectations, we're basically putting ourselves as His judge. But He forgives that too. The only unforgivable sin is the refusal of His gift. Refusing to be forgiven, to be given life and eternal salvation. And that's the key. That's the wonderful fail-safe of the gospel. That no matter where you've been or what you've done, no matter how hard you've run away from God or pushed Him away, there is always forgiveness, even for that. Because Jesus says, if anyone keeps my word, that is, to hold it dear, to hang on to it as our thread of hope, if anyone keeps my word, he will never see death. And if you believe and trust in God for that ultimate show of His love, for always taking you back, no matter where you've been or what you've been through because of His Son, and you have what Jesus gives. The life that can never be taken away. Wow. In Jesus' name, amen.
If you'd like to know more about our Saviors in Mankato, you can find us on the web at oslcmankato.org.